Please remain standing and pray with me. Almighty God, as we come to you on this most glorious of days, we give you the best we have to offer in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and for the great benefits that this has been given to us through his resurrection, victory over death, and for this we give you great thanks. Be with us as we hear your word read and preached. Come among us through word and sacrament, and do that great work of resurrection beginning now in our hearts. And so we commend ourselves fully to your love and care. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Amen. Amen. All those who were here last night at the vigil, just raise your hand. I want to see. Okay. If you see them sleeping, they have a hall pass. If you weren't raising your hand, if you're found sleeping during this sermon, then we'll come after you. So glad to be here together on this Easter Sunday morning. Our gospel lesson this morning from Luke 24. Is it a story of escape or one of entry? This question arises in light of the stone which the women found rolled away from the tomb that morning. When they came to complete the preparation of Jesus' body for burial. We might then even ask the question in a different way. Is the stone rolled away to allow Jesus to escape, or is it to allow the women and anyone who would follow after them to look inside, to enter in? Of course, if you know your Gospels, it seems unlikely that this is a story of escape. The resurrected Jesus does not require doors to enter and exit a room or even a tomb for that matter. Later on that day, even in Luke's account and in John's, Jesus just simply appears in the upper room where the disciples are gathered for fear of the Jews. And if this is a story of escape, then why do the angels linger around to speak to the women? Escape does not appear to be the focus or the point of Luke's account. So then if we're not dealing here with the story of escape, but rather one of entry, then entry into what exactly? Just a few verses before our lesson this morning in chapter 23, beginning in verse 50, Luke records this. Now, there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action, that is, to crucify Jesus. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb of cut stone. This is how Luke sets the context for the women who are coming there to check on how are we going to prepare Jesus' body. And there are two things that we should notice here in Luke's context for our lesson this morning. First, Luke thinks it's important to tell us that Joseph is a man who's looking for the kingdom of God. The other aspects of him being a good and righteous man, you understand why he includes that, because it explains his decision. But he tacks on at the end there, this he was a man looking for God's kingdom. One look, it may seem like an unnecessary detail, unless, in fact, it is necessary to understand this resurrection account. And secondly, motivated by such a pursuit of God's kingdom, he asked for, takes, wraps in a linen shroud, and places Jesus' cold, dead body in this freshly cut tomb. Now, with this context set, Luke invites us to anticipate the coming of God's kingdom in some way in connection with this body of Jesus. And indeed, if we were to go to the beginning of the book of Acts that Luke writes, or in the end of Acts, we hear these two things highlighted. Jesus was there with him before the ascension, telling them about the kingdom of God and demonstrating that he was alive from the dead. He was showing them his body. And at the end, we hear that Paul is talking about two things while he's in prison in Rome. And what are those? The kingdom of God and Jesus Christ alive from the dead. So let's turn back to Luke's gospel and reread this story with our question in mind. Entry into what? And with this context in mind, looking for God's kingdom in connection with the body of Jesus. I'm going to begin in verse 54 of chapter 23. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day and rise." The rolled away stone invites us to enter into God's kingdom that has been inaugurated by an absent body, by the risen Christ. The kingdom is not one marked by death. Death does not have the final word in this kingdom. For the angels clearly tell us, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And his absent body is an open invitation into the kingdom of God. Rather, God's kingdom is not one of death. It's rather one of that's radically characterized by the flourishing of life, by what St. Paul calls in our Romans lesson from last night, from Romans 6, the newness of life. The stone that's rolled away invites us to enter the kingdom of God, to enter this newness of life by embracing the risen Jesus, by accepting as true the bodily resurrection of Christ as the centerpiece of all of human history. Everything has been leading up to this moment from creation, from the fall, as we heard recounted last night. And because this invitation is to embrace the risen from the dead Lord Jesus, this is ultimately an invitation to enter into a faith relationship, a faith arrangement with the triune God. The resurrection, you see, I don't know if you know this, it's kind of out there. It's kind of hard to believe. And it's no more believable now than it was then. Luke tells us that upon seeing the empty tomb, these women are perplexed. I think I would have chose a different selection of words there. Freaked out, perplexed, totally confused. They just saw the body there on Friday, and now on Sunday morning, where is it? They're perplexed. They just didn't come easy to them. This is not what they thought. They had just seen his body. And upon hearing the report of the women, the disciples immediately fell into a cultural trope that these women must be making up some idle tale. So they completely dismissed them because this is a pretty unbelievable thing, isn't it? All of this that Luke presents points to how ridiculous and far-fetched it sounds to embrace this claim that Jesus was alive from the dead. And ironically, this is what makes it so compelling to believe. The Gospels do not sugarcoat the resurrection. They don't try to make it believable. If you were trying to tell a lie, I remember doing this as a child, you try to present things in the best possible light so someone will believe you. But no, this is not what they're doing. They're not trying to fool you. They're telling you in very clear ways that this is not believable, but yet it's happened. They're up front with the portrayal of how difficult it is to believe that Jesus' body has been given new and real life. Apart from those early eyewitnesses who, after a process of seeing Jesus alive from the dead, apart from that, belief in the resurrection takes true God-given faith. We cannot embrace the risen Jesus apart from faith. And as a result, the invitation of the rolled away stone is to enter the King God's kingdom by embracing the risen Jesus through faith, trusting that Jesus has in fact overcome the grave by the power of God and has opened up for us the gateway into everlasting life, into God's kingdom. You see, the rolled away stone shows us that God removes the barriers between us and him. Sin is dealt with once and for all in the death of Jesus on the cross. Death itself is overcome, annihilated by God raising Jesus from the dead. Sin and death no longer are barriers that can separate us from the love of God, as Paul reminds us in the letter to the Romans. And as we heard last night, they no longer reign over us as lords, as cruel masters. For all who have embraced the risen Jesus through repentance and faith and have been united to his death and resurrection through baptism, we have been delivered, freed from the kingdom of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Yet all too often we tend to continue to distance ourselves and our lives from God. Even those of us who know the grace of God in our lives, we put these stones, these barriers between us and the Father. Like the prodigal son in Luke 15, we spurn the Father and squander the riches of his love. We put so many things in the way, including our sin or our indifference to him. However, the good news this Easter is that the rolled away stone tells us that God does not want us on the outside looking in. He does not want us languishing in that faraway country, the kingdom of darkness where sin and death reign. No, he wants us to look inside the tomb, to go beyond the grave, to the reality of the resurrection. Not only of Jesus, but also the great promise it has for us. We no longer have to search for true love and true meaning in our lives among the dead or among the death works of fallen and broken cultures and lives, because true love itself, true life itself, has risen from the dead. The invitation of the rolled away stone is to embrace the risen Jesus and to enter a new life, indeed to enter into the newness of life, a life beyond the grave, beyond the grip of death. And if you embrace the risen Jesus and enter into this new life beyond the grip of death, then what we heard in Isaiah this morning will be true in your life. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, to the kingdom of God, with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrow and sign will flee away. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.